Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
I'm up, laid down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half ups, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party. Pull up Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flexing in the air, huh? Bummer rings, and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half ups, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special Wrestling Wrap Up. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, Matt. Matt, how's it going?
It is good. It is WrestleMania day, night one, day one. Is it part A? I don't even know what to call it anymore, but it is the end of the first night, and honestly, it feels great to be done with the first night of Mania, because that was a long night.
Yes, this is our very special WrestleMania Night 1 live reactions. We are recording this just shy of 12 a.m. on the East Coast, mm-hmm. because, of course, WrestleMania didn't decide to end until it turned midnight, so... we are going to give our live, raw, unfiltered reactions to what we just saw. We're going to try and keep it a buck. Matt, overall, before we get into each match, how did you feel about night one of WrestleMania?
You know what? Night one, if I just quick reaction, it kind of started, the flow was a little off. It started off slow. Like, I'm like, is this WrestleMania or is this just a continuation of SmackDown? But I digress. It really did pick up, and I think a lot of the highlights of the show were in the middle. I think that ending with that Stone Cold match, honestly, we're old, we're tired. But watching it back, I think I'll appreciate it even more. And you know what? They had a lot of big moments. Like, it felt like WrestleMania for the most part, and yes. I think that they did a great job, and I hope other people love what they got. But how did you feel about it?
That is actually a great point. It definitely did feel like WrestleMania, like, and mm-hmm. I feel like we've because of the pandemic and all of that, the last two WrestleManias have been like kind of like meh, you know. Well, not meh, but like the one with no crowd, just getting their feet wet at Tampa Bay, like it feels
literally.
Yes, because of the rain. Yeah, exactly.
Like, there we go, Mari.
Yes, so it finally does feel like WrestleMania again. It truly does. So it's a great feeling. And I had such like low. I realized while I was watching the show, I had such low expectations for it that, especially for like most of the matches, that like my expectations were like exceeded, really. Is that, I don't know if that's a good,
that's a good
bad
place
thing
to be. No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I think a lot of people probably went in with pretty low expectations because we didn't have like a huge build to anything. We weren't told that Stone Cold and KO would definitely main event. beforehand. Right. We were kind of speculating about that a little bit. And we definitely weren't told that that was going to be a match.
It really was a match.
And so I think that that is just one example of WWE not really building a lot or not necessarily promising a lot of exciting things for us. But, you know, they did deliver with what they had at least. And so, you know, you can't really knock them for that. And there was some really cool stuff tonight, which is the best part.
Right, exactly. So exactly. Like, it's just like we did not know too much about some things, and because of that, it actually worked out. We did speculate about the KO and Stone Cold like going on last, and I feel like such a hypocrite because I do not like that the women's Royal Rumble winner is not main eventing, but also that Charlotte and Ronda match did not deserve to main event. So it was like, I feel like such a hypocrite, you know?
Well, I mean, you know what? You can take it back. We get what you mean. Like, normally, yes, good if they main event, but they had the wrong winner this year. So the person who should have won should have main evented WrestleMania, that being Bianca Belair. But
right,
that's a whole other story.
Right. So I thought it was so pleasantly surprising in a lot of the matches. So I guess that's a really good thing. So let's just get into the matches.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
Like you said, we're old. Like, we're trying to get into these matches.
Yeah, seriously. So, and out,
right. So you're right. It truly did start off kind of sad, mostly because it started.
I mean, yeah, damn, Mari.
What? No, it did, because the Usos. It was the Usos versus Nakamura and Rick Boogs.
Oh, yes, it was sad.
Yes,
I thought you were even thinking back to the pre-show. Too. I'm like, what? No, Mari, that was it was a fine pre-show. It wasn't sad.
I don't even remember the pre-show, to tell you. And I know Derek dropped
Jake Hall was there.
Oh God. Oh, that was Jake. Was he the one who was talking? I just assumed that was Logan.
He was good.
I'm so confused. Yeah, I know. The Paul brothers.
They look alike. Yeah.
I didn't need it.
Same.
But if you have so we got Usos and Nakamura and Boogs, and like I don't even know how long the match went, but it felt like it had just started and then all of a sudden it had ended. And I was like, wait, what's going on? I when I said I didn't even have time to like look on my phone to like tweet something or just like I looked away for 2 seconds. I think I was eating and it was done. I was like, that was very weird. And then come to find out, like, Rick Boogs was like selling a knee injury. So I originally thought it was just, you know, a work. But then after the match, they were like attending to him. And then we got in the middle of the broadcast, they said that Rick Boogs tore his quad and patella muscle. And that it requires surgery. So,
yeah.
That's so extremely sad because I do think that they were, I think they were slated to win that match.
Ooh, I wonder, I have no clue, but I do think that, you know, similar thoughts to you. I didn't think it was anything when I saw it because I'm just like, oh, okay. They did the replay and you're thinking it's just a worked injury. And, you know, sometimes that's not the case, unfortunately. And so, yeah, they mentioned him having surgery, hopefully in the next few days. I don't know what the recovery time is for that kind of injury, but hopefully he's back pretty soon. But that was really unfortunate to see.
Yeah, like it truly, truly was. So I think they were going to win. I do think they were going to win. So because like even when they rushed the ending, it wasn't even like they just hit a 1D and it was done. It's like, I think if they're still going to go with the original ending, they normally do like the double frog splash. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It was just,
I wonder. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I wonder. But yeah, it was. I think maybe because I didn't even realize anything went wrong for a while after into the show when they started mentioning it, I think. And so to me, I was like, okay, that the match felt like it could have been or it would have been on SmackDown. So that's kind of how I started the night, kind of thinking like, oh, this feels like a normal show. But I think the injury, you know, in retrospect, it makes a lot more sense.
Right, exactly. So I don't think we should give a grade for this match because it didn't even happen, and it's unfortunate that they had a they had an injury. So just best of luck to Rick Boogs and him getting back into form. Am I cutting off? Did I just cut off?
No, you're good. There?
Okay, I'm good. You're okay, good. Just want to make sure. So because my notes are on my phone, I don't want to accidentally close anything out. So then we got Drew versus Baron Corbin, and I was like, this was my bathroom break match personally, but I did get to see Drew kick out of the End of Days, which is wow. Like,
yeah,
everybody was shook us on that.
Yeah, that's my note. And, you know, other than that, I thought that was interesting that they decided, well, not other than that. I mean, that was the thing I thought was interesting this match, that they decided to go with that being the moment where someone kicks out the End of Days.
Right.
It's just like, exactly. you can just keep that in your back pocket as a thing you want to use in the future, like maybe in a big championship match. But I guess this is it. I guess Drew, it doesn't do anything for Drew. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. I mean, Drew is already a big star. And that's why this match didn't mean much to me, because it was just one of those, it felt like it was just one of those matches where they're like, yeah, we just got to get Drew on the card. And you can tell why, yeah. You know, the crowd loves him and they react to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's over as all get out. So I get it. It just was not a compelling feud for me personally.
I think that, like, the only other interesting thing here that I like that really wasn't even the match is just the fact that Madcap Moss won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which I didn't like in particular. But I just like
that,
you know, give him another thing, and he's with Corbin, who also won that match like a few years back, and so, like, I don't know, build their credibility a little bit more. I don't know if they're going to do anything with that, if it's going to be a feud between them, if it'll, who knows? But that's like the one interesting thing to me out of that. And then Drew destroying the ring was really random, like. Mm-hmm. That's just rude. I hope that, like, in kayfabe, they fine him for those ropes, because you can't go around cutting them.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't really like Madcap Moss winning, because it was him versus Finn, who was a champion. Like, I don't know. But
I mean, I don't like him in general, let me be clear. But
yeah,
I don't mind it. I don't mind maybe where they might be going with it, especially because he is with Corbin, who I also
gotcha. Love. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just not it for me.
I mean,
for me personally, they did elicit a reaction, so I'll give it a C, I think.
Oh, I forgot that we had to give it a letter.
I can't even remember what we used to.
I would give it a C also, because it continued that vibe of the SmackDown. Like, it felt very much like an episode of SmackDown for me. A little bit bigger because of the End of Days moment, but yeah, a C.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will say, like, between those two and then even the Usos and Shinsuke and Boogs, like, all great performers, I just don't think that what they were coming into WrestleMania with was really compelling, and it would have been nice to start the show on, like, a really, really high note of a match that we really wanted to see, but maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, exactly. So just a reminder, if you want to leave any audio questions or comments, feel free to leave some audio questions and comments. We'll play them and react to them right now. So let's get to it. I thought, like, we get Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio versus The Miz and Logan Paul, right? I still can't tell.
It was Logan Paul, Mari.
Logan Paul. Okay. Somebody said, has anybody seen both the Paul brothers in the same room before? Like, I was like, I don't know if I have.
I haven't.
But anyways, so this match, I am upset.
Oh, why?
Because Miz and the Mysterios made me care about a Logan Paul match. Like, what on God's green earth? This was the match where it felt like, okay, we're back to WrestleMania. Starting with the entrances, right. Like Dominic doing the Ray, you know, him and Ray popped up at the same time. That was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Ray comes out with the, like, let's talk about the fashions, Matt. The fashions.
Yeah, like the Mexican flag attire.
Yes.
Dominic with the American flag attire.
Yes.
Coming together. We're getting the unity, people coming together, all the things. What else about
and
the
I think fashion? It was like first generation stuff too, you know? So, Well, technically no, because Ray was born in San Jose. But anyways,
don't expose him. I was like, oh yeah, Ray's from Mexico. Like, he's born there. But look,
yeah, I'm like, I don't know which one is worse. Like, assuming that he was born in Mexico or exposing that
he was wearing the flag. That's the point. So he was representing
He definitely was very well too. Yeah. So their outfits, and then Dominic's outfit also being like an homage to Eddie as well, was just amazing. Yeah, and then Miz and Logan Paul,
I love.
Yes, those matching outfits. Like, if you're going to be a tag team, if you're going to be in a tag team match, I need the matching outfits. If the outfits don't match, it takes me out of it. Like, so hardcore, it takes me out of it. Yeah. So I'm hoping the women come tomorrow, like, when that Fatal 4-Way. Like, I want to see the fashions there, but
they did be ready. And, you know, I'm 100% with you. And you know what? Logan Paul had, like, he had the most rare Pokemon card in the world around his neck on a chain.
Apparently. Did he? Was that what that was?
Yes, that's what that was. So,
oh my gosh.
If we're going to just go with like a big flex and some legitimacy there, I appreciated that. Like, damn. Who would even think of that? And so
I didn't even look that hard.
These Paul brothers, I don't know enough about them to truly hate them, but I also know that they're trash. But what I will say is that you know, they were built to be pro wrestling heels. They're really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's really what I took away from this match, because it was a fun match in the middle of the match. I cannot believe Ray tried to do the three amigos on Miz. I think he got like two amigos in there before Miz stopped him. And then he tags in Logan Paul. Logan Paul hits all three amigos on Rey Mysterio. I was like, the blasphemy. It was such good heel work. Like, you know, I know. It comes natural.
He did the three amigos, and then he did a kip up where he, like, you could see Ray, like, winced or, like, tried to move out of the way, because it almost seemed like Logan Paul was going to kip up and, like, stomp on his face. But after he went up to the top ropes and did the little Eddie shimmy. And the frog splash.
That was so. And the frog splash.
And the frog
splash. Blasphemous.
And the shimmy, though.
Yeah, all of it.
Come on.
All of it.
Logan Paul family, you should be ashamed. If anyone is listening and their last name is Paul, figure out how to get to Logan or Jake or whichever or both. I don't, again, we don't think that they've ever been in the same room together. So like find one of them and just tell them that it's not okay what Logan Paul did. Don't do that to Eddie. Leave him alone. In Texas, of all places.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So Miz ends up getting the pin.
Yeah.
After Logan Paul took a, like, it was a double 619, if I remember correctly. Because Lord knows it was 6 hours ago.
Yeah. I was going to say, there were a couple moves that he took. Yep.
He took, yeah, he took the double 619, then he took two frog splashes. But Miz had already tagged him out to score the victory, but it was amazing to see them hit all of that on Logan Paul, and good for Logan Paul for taking that. But we gotta talk about the end of the match, Matt. Walk us through the end of the match.
Wait, you just mean like the aftermath of the match?
Yes, the aftermath.
Look, I mean, I was ready to go home. I said, okay, they're gonna be the future tag team champions, like we're gonna get them in here. Jake Paul's gonna show up as like their manager, or it'll be a stable, who knows. But Miz kind of had a moment, a freak out, he went off and he decided to hit Logan Paul with the skull crushing finale.
Amazing.
He deserved that.
All these people are trash,
so I just laughed.
Oh, that was so great. Miz turning on Logan Paul for absolutely no reason. We have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going to assume he'll explain it. Maybe he'll explain it on Raw, or maybe they'll just move on.
I think
either way, it was great.
Yeah, I think they, well, we'll see. But if they just move on, I don't think we'll be too mad.
No. Yeah, they got to start. I feel like, you know, WrestleMania Backlash is in... Isn't it like in like 3 weeks or something like that? It's not a long time.
Probably.
So
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was great. And then Miz celebrated with Mark from the challenge.
Oh,
that was great.
I didn't see it on the show, like on the broadcast. I did see it on Mark's social media, of course. Mark Long posted the I don't even know what they call him, but the OG of the challenge, something like that. He's a daddy of the challenge.
Yeah,
Mark
granddaddy.
Long was there. Yeah, and I don't know. Good for them. I hope
he was front row, too. And he wasn't even just front row for like Miz or anything like that. He was front row the whole night.
Yeah, he knows how to get those front row tickets somehow. So we'll have to call Mark Long up and find out how to all his secrets.
How to finagle that. So what would you grade this match here, Matt?
I'm going to give it let me give it a firm B. I want to give it a B+, but let me just say a B.
Yes, I completely agree. I think it's a firm, solid B. It was a great showing. And I think it, again, benefited from the low expectations. Like, I had really low expectations. I think most of us do when it comes to, like, celebrity matches. You know?
Yeah.
But the celebrity matches have been really hitting lately. So that's awesome.
Yeah,
like that's really, really awesome.
It's good that they have a higher standard for those. So, I mean, well, we'll hope that continues with Johnny Knoxville, but that's a whole other story.
Exactly. So, for tomorrow night. So, I also give it a B, and I thought from here on out, it truly did, like, everything kind of ramped up, except for one exception. So... So next up, of course, we get Becky versus Bianca, and I just, oh my god, this match was just from the very, very beginning to the very, very end. Like, this match, this feud, this storyline, this everything was everything. The package, the video package, because of course the video package scene, right. They're amazing. I watched that video package on the kickoff show and watched it again on the show because I was like, this is a good package. Yes, exactly. The video package set that feud up. It was of course very narrative wise, like the SummerSlam, the audience turned on Becky, blah, 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 blah. They really spoon fed it to you, but it was so good, you know? And then, the entrances. Becky comes in a, I don't know, it looked like maybe a Cadillac, some kind of like just really cool looking car.
Right.
Like sports utility vehicle of stars.
Yeah.
She looks okay. So her hair. So on Monday, we didn't get to talk about this, but on Monday, Becky did what, you know, we kind of all brought up on the last WrestleMania preview show. She brought out some big scissors and threatened to cut Bianca's hair. But Bianca was able to turn the tables on her and cut Becky's hair. So, yeah, I know. And then they had a WWE exclusive of Becky actually getting her hair cut, like, professionally to make it look better. I mean, let's be clear. Becky has a mullet. It's like basically a mullet. But it looked really good tonight. Like, and when they originally, the original video, I was kind of like, oh, I'm a little iffy on it. But they straightened it. She definitely was giving me like Haley from Paramore vibes.
Yeah.
And I think she did a great job with her, like her look. And when she came out with those really cool glasses, I think she took her glasses off. She had this, face makeup on. What did you think of Becky Lynch's looks here,
Matt? She looks next level. And I also know, even just from earlier in the week on social media, the one and only Stan C, also Stan C approved. And yes, Haley Paramore is the main reference I've heard. But she did really look next level tonight. And I was just so amazed that... you know, like when you show up to Mania, you don't expect someone to look so different, but she really actually did look very different in a good way. And I like that she said, let me bring something different to Mania rather than like just an alteration on what people would already recognize and kind of elevated. Normally at Mania, we get like the slightly elevated looks, but this was just like completely different. And it fit the story because Becky was a woman on a mission, and I thought that she might have pulled this one out actually. So, you know, we'll get to that. But she seemed like she was coming for the win, and I would have believed it.
Very much. But then, Bianca freaking Belair invites the Texas Southern University HBCU. Right. Marching band onto the stage to play her in, and I almost wept. I was weeping. Yeah. We all know how hardcore I support HBCUs. This is not a secret, and how they need more funding, they need more support, and how we desperately need to support Black colleges. And just seeing them get that shine and that recognition, and just it truly is just it was Black excellence. That's the first thing that always comes to your mind when you think of Bianca and anything that she's done. She's done stuff. She's so authentically herself and so authentically Black, and brings that to her wrestling in every facet of it. And it truly is like some people will not get it. Like, it is okay if you don't get it, but for people and people like us, it is so important to see.
Well, I mean, I will say, like, I mean, it's not okay if you don't get it. It's okay if you don't get it yet, but it's not too late is what I'm saying. Like, in the bigger picture landscape of things, the reason we talk about this is because when we look at media representation or just look at pro wrestling and the representation of characters that we've seen. I mean, like, oh my God, Shad Gaspard is such a hero and phenomenal. And I was like crying the other night watching the Hall of Fame ceremony and all of that.
I was crying tonight.
I know. I was like, give me the clips. I was like, just give me the clips. I held it together tonight. But what I will say is, like, you know, we had prime time as a representation. So when you're looking to see other Black people or other people who look like you, that was like the mid to late 2000s. You know, it was as criminals. That was our representation, right? And there are all these other examples. Like Kamala is another example. He was just a, like, I don't even know what to call him, but a really offensive stereotype. And so to get someone who is the opposite of those things that have defined wrestling for so long is important. You could imagine, too, if there's an aspect of who you are that's not currently being seen, and then you see it, that that actually does have an impact on you and makes you feel like you belong and validates who you can be and who you are. And so I hope people can understand that. It's like, it's not that complicated. So I hope people understand.
Exactly. And again, when you praise something that you resonate with, does not automatically mean you have to denigrate everything else. Like, I feel like people don't realize nowadays, just with everything that goes on, it's like, if I'm praising one thing, that does not automatically mean that I think everything else is crap and that, you know, this, that, and the third. It's just like, you have to celebrate your wins, your victories, the small ones, the big ones, you know, like Bianca winning for a second time, being, you know, the one of the two Black women to main event WrestleMania, you know, finally being able to say she's a Raw Women's Champion and SmackDown Women's Champion, you know, being the Royal Rumble winner. Technically, she's the only Black woman to win the Royal Rumble. You know what I'm saying? It's like so many accolades given to somebody that you see similarities in yourself. And it's just the main reason of why representation matters, you know?
Yeah, but, and you know what? I'm just glad that she was able to have, like, that HBCU marching band, like, there with her and, like, just everyone there. Because, one, that's so powerful to see it. And I immediately thought of, like, Beyonce at homecoming in that moment, too. Because I love when, like, just these examples of where we're seeing I was going to say Black people, but I mean, in both those cases, it's more specifically Black women who are using their platforms to bring other people up and lift them up and give them more visibility and opportunities. And so I'm glad that she got to do that, but I'm excited for Bianca's power, her star power to grow so that she has more opportunities to, like, give even more people shine over time. So that's, like, that's my big reason for supporting Bianca, where I'm like, I want her to go as far as possible because I know that, like, we just saw tonight, she'll bring other people with her, and it's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. And then all of that aside, like, the amazing interest is, oh my God, Bianca's ring gear. It's is amazing. Like, I'm pretty sure she still did. Exactly. And that, I mean, to find, okay, maybe we're going too deep into the fashions, but to find, like, like nude mesh that fits your skin that well is so hard to do. Ask the girls on Drag Race. Like, it is so hard to do.
I don't have any nude mesh. And if I tried to find it, it might take a while. I mean, I'm trying to Amazon Prime the right size over and the right color. Come on.
Exactly. Wow. And so she just looks stunning. They both look stunning. It was great. And then the match starts and oh my gosh, like I was sucked in. Like, Becky is going to do one thing, she's going to go in there and counter everything you just did. You know what I'm saying? Like, every 2 seconds they're like, a counter from Becky. Becky counters. Another counter for Becky. Like, that Becky can freaking go. You know what I'm saying? Like, of the four horsewomen, that is what she does. She does that mat game. She does the counter. She uses your own weaknesses against you. I mean, that's how she got Bianca in the first time. So it was just the beginning of the match was just so fast paced, counter after counter after counter. And it was just, it was so good. And then they settled into like, you know, a match proper of just back and forth, and just so many like highlights. What was some of your highlights of like the match itself, Matt?
Well, not a highlight, but when Bianca had, she got a, like a nasty boot to the face at one
point. Yeah, that was nasty. Yeah.
And so that was one thing that stood out just in the moment off the top of my head. But otherwise, I mean, like overall, I was really preparing myself emotionally, mentally for Bianca to lose over the course of this match because they were talking about her hyoid bone and her injury and just how hyoid.
Her hyoid.
Hyoid. That's just hyoid. And so she's, you know, they started talking about it and I was like, wait a minute. They're trying to set her up for the loss. Like they're saying, okay, she's not 100%. And then something else came up and there was another moment. I was like, she's not 100%. And I don't know. I was just so happy when she won. That was the biggest part of the match for me because I just wasn't truly expecting her to get that, but I don't know. I'm gonna think about highlights specifically from the match. Did you have any that like what stood out for you?
No, it did. It like that kick to the face was really bad. I hope she's okay because by the end of the match, her eye was completely swollen shut, and I'm praying that like it's not like an orbital bone break like with Becky, you know, and with Naomi a few years ago, you know. So hopefully she doesn't have to like relinquish the title or anything like that, but it looked it at least swelled up really badly, so
yeah,
hopefully
whatever happens she will, even career wise we know that she'll be okay. Let's hope that she is 100% okay.
Yeah, but it was just such an intense match. It was so good. And when Bianca finally got Becky up for that KOD, look at the crowd. Go back and watch it and look at the crowd. Everybody jumped up. It was such good work, you know? And KOD is now the most like protected finisher in the WWE. So like kudos on that. For real.
Yeah, 100%.
That was such a great match.
Yeah, they really wrestled it like it was the main event of WrestleMania. Like that match could have been a main event of Mania. And so,
truly,
you know, I mean, like I know that we talked about potentially that match starting the show. That could have been really nice. I also think like the Miz, Logan Paul, Mysterio's match could have started the show, just something that was a little meatier and that we wanted to actually see, but you know, it is what it is, and I'm glad that we got this match, period, and excited to rewatch.
That was a solid A match, A plus. On a curb.
I mean, I'll call A because A plus just seems too high. Overkill. But you know what? No. It was an A plus match.
It was so good. Spoiler alert, it was my match of the night. It was my match of the night, definitely.
Maybe mine. The next one just did a really good job at everything. So we'll talk about it.
Yeah, let's move on. So I mean, this truly could have been a death spot after such a good match with Becky and Bianca. And I was kind of expecting it might be, but they were like, Seth is coming out. I was like, oh, okay. At this point, with Seth coming out and so many rumors flying about, and it was still a mystery opponent, it had to be somebody good if they were going to put him in this spot. You know, it was either going to be somebody really good or it's going to be Flopiana, because you can't put them right after Becky and Bianca and them not deliver. And this match delivered. So we get Seth in full just healing it up mode.
Like a peacock.
Yes, very much.
By the way, speaking of entrances, while Bianca had the HBCU band there, like Seth had some sort of, I don't know if it was like the Texas A&M a cappella group or like youth choir but it was not the marching band.
Yes, I was kind of confused. I was like, who are these people? But
a little goofy, yeah.
Yeah. But
I think they're very goofy actually, in line with Seth. They were kind of like Seth Rollinsing it up, which was kind of cute.
Yeah, so we got Seth is his entrance. He comes in there, you know, we get the video package of how he got there, and it's gonna be a mystery opponent. He's standing in the ring. And we're just like, I was ready to be disappointed. I was so ready to be disappointed because
WWE. Who did you think it was going to be otherwise?
I mean, no, I mean, it was Cody or bust. Let's be real. Like,
it was Cody or it was going to be The Undertaker coming out.
Really?
Yeah, because I was just like,
that would have been a bust to me.
They could, well, I mean, I think most people would have been like, pretty happy with it, just because, like, not your casual fan. I mean, might have been pretty happy with that, but yeah, I figured it had to be one or the other, and then because in my head, maybe they wouldn't give us Cody now, and then they would have him debut on Raw or SmackDown this coming week. But yeah, it pretty much had to be him. I think that's how most people felt. So I'm glad they actually delivered on their promise for once.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't see Cody like signing and being like, oh yeah, let me come back on a random Raw. Like,
oh, no.
It felt like this had to have been included in the contract, you know, like WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
But so, okay, so yeah, so let's get into it. So then lights go off, we get to the last of Pyro, and then boom, music hits, American Nightmare.
Yeah.
Cody gets the full entrance. Like, he slowly rises up. He slowly walks to the ring. Somebody said this entrance is longer than The Undertaker.
I mean, and it's his same entrance from AEW. Same theme song and everything. So,
wow.
Like, even calling him the American Nightmare.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah. That's what I was saying to myself. I'm like, I cannot believe that I'm staring at the American Nightmare logo. Mm-hmm. Like, so big on the screen right now, because no matter how much we say like, oh, it's gonna be Cody, how much you speculate and stuff like that, it's still like just so surreal seeing it, you know.
100%. And the way that I think Corey Graves, especially on commentary, was talking about it, he was saying things like the prodigal son has returned and like all that stuff, and you know, referencing Dusty as the son of the plumber and referencing the American Nightmare thing. And so it really felt like they were bringing in all of this legacy, all of this history. And I kind of wonder, like, if you're someone who didn't know who Cody Rhodes was, I mean, it kind of felt like a big moment anyway, but I kind of wonder how someone who didn't know who he is kind of would react to that entrance and that setup that we got for the match.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it really truly was just like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. You know, I was like, I can't believe Cody's back on WWE. Mm-hmm. So then he gets in there, they're like fighting. The match is so good. And like, Seth is beating Cody up. Seth says, welcome back to the big leagues, bitch. And throughout
were you hoping Brandy would come out and just hit his face?
No, I was not.
I was so happy she wasn't anywhere near him.
Exactly. Exactly. Because as Seth is going, and this match, they're like just, it is just so hard hitting. They're like hitting each other and throwing their bodies around and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and like Falcon arrows and just suplexes all over the places, you know? Mm-hmm. And throughout the match, I'm like, oh my God, I am rooting for Cody to win. Like, I am like full on rooting for Cody to win because Seth is being his most obnoxious. And it's just reminding me that this is the perfect first feud for Cody because, you know, Seth was always the one who would be on Twitter talking the loudest, defending WWE, talking crap about the indies and AEW and stuff like that. He is like, you know, when people want to play along, Seth is like the bad guy when it comes to Mr. Big Leagues versus the indies. And, you know, it was really interesting for me because I truly, I think I've said this before, loved Cody when he was in the WWE. I'm one of the people who liked the Stardust gimmick. So I liked when he like referenced it. Yeah, when he referenced it very early on in the match.
With the cartwheel.
With the cartwheel. Yes. I actually really enjoyed his Stardust gimmick because I thought he was making it work. They just weren't giving him anything. And of course, Dashing Cody Rhodes and all of that. And it was, you know, once he went to the indies, he's been on the indies for, it's been, I think 2016 was when he was released. I feel like, so it's been like 6 years or something to that effect of him just not being with the WWE. And of course, in that time span, of course, with him going to AEW, you know, with the Brandy stuff, it's like the whole race with the both of them, it's really like Cody has lost a little bit of luster for me as a fan over the years. But then he came back and then it was just like, it just kind of transported you back to that. And I'm like, I miss Cody, but it's like he didn't go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So it, you know, it could be like my WWE bias showing there, but this match, Seth is just really also good at being a heel. Like he did a great job in that match, working Cody, taunting him, just being the you know, we know how Seth can be. So I really enjoyed this match. What did you think? I'm talking too much.
Well, let me just add, I mean, I agree with you largely. I just want to jump in though and kind of defend your WWE bias or whatever you call, like leaning toward this version of Cody, because I was thinking about it as I watched the match. And you know, I was even in real time as I watched it trying to think, like, is this my match of the night? Because I loved Bianca and Becky, and this setup was definitely a little bit different. Like, but just kind of to touch on the bigger picture of it, like, I think that WWE has the power to really, like, put a machine behind someone and make it look big and huge and package it well. And it's WWE. And, like, if you're Cody, thinking about Dusty and his legacy, like, does that to you, does that look like AEW and building that out and kind of going kind of in line with Tony Khan's vision? Or does that mean going to Vince McMahon, who I'm sure, you know, probably like Vince often does with people, sees you like a son. Maybe you see him like a father figure to some extent. Like, you have history there. You grew up knowing Vince. Like, I wouldn't even try to guess when the first time Cody met Vince McMahon was, but I'm sure he was pretty young just under the circumstances. And so all of these things kind of, to me, make WWE more of an obvious choice. And again, it is WWE. But also I feel like in this world of WWE, there are the writers. We know about all these big people, like big feuds he could potentially have. And also, like, the other piece of it is that it kind of strips away, like, the fact that Brandy's not there strips away some of the heat and the things that I think weighed against him. And, you know, when I was seeing him, I was just thinking about, look at him. He comes back not only having this blonde hair, of course, but, like, having all this experience under his belt. He had a TV show. Like, so he's capable of doing acting. He's capable of being a personality who's out there, who's marketable, who could make the company money. So I think WWE sees that. And, you know, the way that we saw Drew come back and Lashley come back.
Like, so true.
And thrive, I think that it's, like, for Cody, it's going to be, like, 10 times what we even got with them just because of everything. But the match itself was amazing in my mind. And I think that it was so well done that Cody had a built-in story of, like, this is his redemption. He's coming back. He put his career, he made a big risk in his career and even put his reputation and everything on the line to say, let me go in this different direction. Let me leave AEW to try to go back to WWE where they might choose to bury me and not treat me well. Yeah. But let me try. And then you have Seth, who had this more kayfabe story that was built up of, like, I need to be on Mania. I'm desperate. And I think between those
very
two
entitled
things, it really led to a match that, like, while technically there was no build between the two of them, it was such an intense match, and the emotion was even there. And so that really impressed me a lot.
I agree. One of the things I was thinking about during the match is Cody coming back instantly puts him as an underdog. You know, it makes me feel like he is back at his underdog status and that he has to prove something at WWE. You know, going from an EVP at AEW, who, like, at one point people are making fun of, like, how many times he's winning the TNT title and taking it off of the younger stars, to, like, coming back in the WWE and feeling like he's going to have to start at the bottom of the ladder. It's just a different feel, you know? It's a completely different feel. And as we're watching this, I'm like, he can't possibly lose his debut, right? Come on. Like, you know, win, Cody, win. And he wins. And I was like, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, and after taking, like, a beating, he took a beating.
Yeah, he looked like, honestly, if he would have just bladed, like, because his forehead even just looked beat up for some reason. I don't know what happened, but it was just
Seth,
like,
you could see the
blood, like, boiling up. And I'm just like, you know, just like, it was so intense. And his arm was really bruised up too. Like,
everything was bruised up. His skin is so thin. Yeah.
I really loved it. And, like, you know, we haven't been the biggest fans of his really over the last year and a half. And I mean, I think it is kind of saying a lot that, that we are into this. So, and I also love that he's just, like, kind of this hopefully built in, I mean, if not a main event star, hopefully, like, I don't think he should be built in, like, going to the championship, but I would like to see him built in as a main event, like, have a feud with Seth that's a main event feud that's, like, adjacent to the championship or whatever. We'll see what they do, but I'm pumped to have, like, another star in the mix to add a bunch of other potential matches to the card.
I totally agree. Could you imagine if he wins Money in the Bank? Could you imagine?
Mari, I'm not starting the speculation now, because the thing is, it could. I mean, it's all we. Okay, it's gonna go really well. I think it's gonna go really well. I don't know how.
You don't want me to jinx it.
I don't want you to. Yeah, because, like, the thing is, like, does he? He could just have his own thing going on. I don't know what they're gonna do, but, like, you have to think he's gonna be a world champion.
At some point in the next year, I agree.
So I don't know how they're going to get there. I don't think they need to do that through Money in the Bank, but we'll see how they play it out. But you know, it's going to have to be good for at least, like, 3 months, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Then they can go downhill after that. But
exactly. So I'm going to give this match an A. I think it was the second best match of the night.
I hear you.
Maybe tied for the second best match of the night.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it an A+ and tie it for the first best match of the night with Becky.
Is this your match of the night?
No, it's tied.
It's Vince Pinterton.
No, they're different. Well,
it's not matches of the night. It's match of the night.
Okay, well, you know what? I mean, I have to go back. You know what? We'll talk about it later. When we have our next episode, like after this weekend recapping, I'll have a decision made. But I can't do that right now, Mari.
That's fine.
Thank you.
All right. So let's move on because we want to get up out of here. We know everybody.
I mean, we will. Like, don't get it twisted, people. Like when we even did the lead-in show, the preview show with Lo from Wrestling Wind Down, like we were probably like almost an hour 45 minutes in. We're like, oh no, don't worry everybody, we've only gotten through four matches, but we're only gonna spend 5 minutes on the other 17. So
yes,
that's how I feel about this right now. What is even up next on the card?
I mean, we did talk about the Hall of Fame stuff, which was really good. It's always nice to see.
Yeah.
And it's always like that break in between everything, that like cool down.
Did Charmel have the same dress on both nights?
Was that the same dress? I don't know. I don't know. I didn't watch the first night, but okay, she looked really good on that night. The black dress with the the flowers. Oh, dang. She did.
So, I mean, I think she
looked good, though.
Well, you know, but she's in Texas. Like, you know, she probably has a few dresses in her closet. Maybe she just forgot which one she wore on the
first
night.
You
know, she probably liked it so much. She was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to wear it.
Man, she looked gorgeous in it.
What a queen.
And she got me for somebody who didn't watch the first night. So then we got Charlotte and Ronda, right? So, we got Charlotte and Ronda. And this is what I said. Like, I went into this WrestleMania card, like, my expectations are low for basically all of the matches except for Bianca and Becky, because I knew they were going to kill it. And they still killed it, even above my expectations. The only thing that was low about my expectations for that match was the possibility that Bianca might lose. And they exceeded all of that. And again, all of the other matches, I was like, meh. And I came into Charlotte and Ronda like, meh. And I mean, our expectations were low, but holy, it's like that meme. Like, I was like, I'm going to sit down and watch this match. I did not like a single second of it. It was just like, it's again, the both of them, they work so sloppy together. And I get it. It's like, oh, they're bringing realism. It's realism. It's supposed to be like an MMA fight, and they really hate each other. And it's sloppy.
Yeah.
And not in like botches or anything like that. I'm not even talking about botches. I'm just talking about everything looks sloppy.
Yeah, you know, this match just felt like it was too long for me in the moment. And I do have to say, you know, part of that, like one of the big factors is just it's getting later and, you know, you're watching the show and you're just like, when's the show going to be over? And when are we going to be able to recap to talk about
exactly
we loved already?
And yes.
We didn't know there was going to be another hour on the show.
An hour.
When they went on.
Gosh.
More than an hour when they went on. So, but that match was just a long one, and I need to watch it again to do it justice, but like I wasn't into it either, which is unfortunate because I do feel like in Ronda's original run I really liked watching all of her matches, and because they always put together something. Like, I'm sure they practiced each time, like each match a million times before, because they were so like they were botch free for the most part. But I don't, you know, I don't know what's going on now, but it things feel different. I don't know if it has, like, I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but I'm just saying I want more from Ronda because she was fun to watch at one point.
She was gassed, yo. She was gassed.
Well, I mean, she did just have, I mean, and I don't want to point this as the reason, but she did just have a, like, it's so understated because I don't think that, like, I don't think that WWE, even for Becky, like, makes it clear how ridiculous it is to, like, be like, okay, I just had a kid, 4 months later, I'm back in the ring, or in WWE, but, like, yeah, that's a lot. So, I mean, respect to her for even showing up and doing it, and I kind of wish she was, like, more open so that people could kind of, you know, see that reality and be like, oh, I sympathize with Rhonda, rather than like, she's such a cold badass. Like, I don't know what to think about her, which I think is what a lot of people kind of do.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, I didn't like anything about it. I thought the end, so Lil Nate was reffing, which I was like, oh, this is suspicious. Like immediately. He takes a ref bump where Charlotte basically spears him into the corner.
Yeah.
Rhonda, they had Charlotte Charlotte was pinned. She was pinned 1, 2, 3, but he reversed it because he saw her foot up. Then after the ref bump, Rhonda finally gets Charlotte into the arm bar and Charlotte taps, but of course the ref's not there. And so Rhonda gets up, you know, tries to grab the ref, and of course eats a big boot. And then 1, 2, 3, Charlotte wins. I was just like, oh God, they're gonna keep feuding.
You know what? That's good if they keep feuding, I guess.
Okay. I see where we're going here.
To feud with? Who do you want either of them to feud with other than
you're right. One? You're right. You're right.
Maybe they'll
you're
just right. keep feuding forever.
Oh God. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get Lacey Evans thrown in there.
Yes, actually, to take some pins. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, definitely.
Honestly, by the way, I'm just going to put it out there now as a WrestleMania night revelation. It's an epiphany I'm having, but like Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair for me would be so great right now. I would just love her to be in there with Charlotte. Not because I want to take up TV time, but because I don't really want either of them near anyone else on the roster. And again, throw in Rhonda. So.
That is hilarious. Very true. Yeah, very, very true. So Charlotte is still the SmackDown Women's Champion. And for this means that Charlotte is still undefeated in like one-on-one competitions at WrestleMania. Like one-on-one, she's still undefeated at WrestleMania.
So you're telling me that she's going to... We talked about this, Mari, in 2 years... Charlotte and Bianca are gonna face off at Mania because Charlotte and Bianca. Because Bianca and Bailey are gonna face off next year at Mania, and Bianca's gonna win. And then it's gonna be like a thing. It's gonna be a thing. I'm calling it.
Becky, Sasha, and Bailey have already put Bianca over.
I think so, we need the Mania one for Bailey.
Yeah, I can't wait for Bailey to come back. I'm so excited for that.
Soon, hopefully.
Soon, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I might just give this match a C-. It really... I'm trying to be nice. I'm being very nice here.
I also... You know what? I would go with... I'm going to go with a C to be generous because I do feel the need to rewatch it.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. It was very late. I was like, what? It's like 11:30 when they started or something like that. No.
Yeah.
No, it was like It was so
10:45.
10:45. Yeah. It went to 11:15-ish. Yeah. Because we were supposed to start earlier.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Yeah. Okay. Either way. Great. Let's move on. Finally, let's get to this last match. Let's wrap this up. Maybe we
talk
can bring...
About, talk about, like, not wanting to... You know that point where you're just like, this is going to be fun, but also... Like, this, it was just too late. Like, they need... These people should have been
so late.
Done an hour earlier than it was done, I think.
So, when KO came out, right, for the KO show... It was like 11:30, and I'm like, okay, so this really truly is just finna be a segment. No, KO comes out, Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, they're bantering back and forth. KO says, I think you should fight me right here and right now in a no holds barred contest or whatever. And I like at this point, I'm still thinking like right now, can we push this to tomorrow? Like, no. I was, you know, and then I thought it was just going to be like maybe a few hits, a stunner, and we go home. And Stone Cold accepts it. It starts off with him just getting his offense in a corner. And I'm like, okay, he's looking like he's slowing down a little bit. And then, no, they go into the audience. They go up the ramp. I was like, oh my God, this is a real match. Well, oh my God, I am enjoying the hell out of this. Like, again, my expectations were low, but... This was so good. What did you think about this, Matt?
You know what? So I just wasn't ready for it. Like,
right.
It was okay. I do feel like if I was really preparing for Steve Austin to have a match, I would have gone back and watched some of his old matches. Mm. I mean, obviously he's not at the same pace as he once mm-hmm. was, but mm-hmm. that's to be expected almost 20 years later. But he looks so good. I mean, I'm just disappointed that he left his shirt on, because I've heard rumors that this man has a six pack, that he's looking good. So I'm just wanting that maybe next time, maybe we're going to be going somewhere. But you know what? It was really good. It just was a lot of punches and a lot of like Steve Austin brawling. And, you know, it was cool. And I hope that this isn't the only match that we get from him. Like, I really hope that this wasn't his last match, but I mean, it was a good match.
And, it was.
He's cool. A great performer. He's always going to be a great performer. So I think that really shined through.
At first, I was really like, oh, he's not going to take a bump at all. KO was just doing an amazing job selling. But then he took a suplex on the concrete, Matt.
Stone Cold Steve Austin took
a suplex on concrete.
He didn't need to do that for his health. But you know what? I'm glad he did. Because he proved that he could do it. It's so ridiculous, though, too, that we haven't seen him wrestle in, again, almost 2019.
Yeah, 19 years, I think.
19 years. Yeah,
they battled up the ramp. I like how he took KO up the ramp.
Both sides.
Yeah. I think he hit him with another suplex over there. Like, Stone Cold hit KO with the suplex or something out there.
Yeah.
Then he just punched him all the way back down the ramp. That was probably the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in my life. This and Kevin Owens just rolling together, down.
Like,
what?
They did everything.
And then KO caught him with a very beautiful stunner. He caught Stone Cold with the stunner that I was like, oh, is it done? I was like, is KO about to win? And then we get the kick out. We get KO getting a chair and then accidentally hitting himself with the chair.
Oh, that was great.
That was amazing. I was like, how? And then getting stunned and Stone Cold wins. And it's just one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, you never want the older person to really like pin the talent.
But
however,
yeah,
Kevin Owens, Kevin Owens loved every second of that. Mm-hmm. He definitely deserved it as the heel and the thing talking, you know, he was talking about Texas. I'm just going to, you know, not say anything about that.
Yeah,
but
leave Texas alone.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
And so,
I thought it was amazing. I was like, what? And I think it was like 15 minutes at least, right?
It was, I mean, yeah, it was about
20?
But it went all over the place. It felt like it was little, but yeah, it was about.
It felt longer than it was, yeah.
Actually, it was, it was like really close to 20 minutes, I want to say. But yeah.
That's so amazing.
It ended just before midnight, so, I'm glad that it had an end. I liked it. But it didn't feel like Owens was going to win at any point. And
no.
It was good nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And it was Stone Cold. And he looks amazing. Just especially considering the fact that it's been 20 years. Like, this man has the right to just be, like, wrinkled and old and have no muscle mass and not even remember how to do promos. And like, he's amazing still. So, I mean, it really does. I think it's cool to see him around in today's day and age. And hopefully that like inspires some people to step it up to like Stone Cold levels of ruthless aggression. I don't know what, you know.
Oh, some God. Of
that. Yeah.
So I'm gonna give this match a B plus. I think it is. It's kind of tied with me for the second match of the night, like with Cody yeah. and this, because of course, like I said, for me, Bianca and Becky are my clear favorites, but these two matches were so good. Like, I cannot believe, again, getting a WrestleMania card where at least like three of the matches are like really good. It feels like we haven't had that since WrestleMania 35.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. And it really does feel like that. And, you know, I would give it an A, but you know what? No. You give it a B plus, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a B plus also. I really once given an A minus, but I think that might've been doing too much. You know, it was a great match because it was Stone Cold, or was good. It was a great match because it was Stone Cold. But overall, I think it was a good match. There were a lot of punches, a lot of brawling, a lot of beer drinking, some like slower moments in it. And I just think like at the end of the night, you want to end in like a more action packed way. I wish it could have been a little bit more fast paced, but it was Stone Cold. Stone Cold. And I think it was fun. But yeah, we got like a lot of snap suplexes and punches, and I don't know, but that's always been Stone Cold. Like, he hasn't
always
ever been like the let me give you like the, you know, 50 moves, you know. And
right.
So I think I appreciate that, at least
him snap suplexing Kevin Owens with his bad back and knees. That's amazing.
Not the knees, those knee pads, the knee braces. But I did know the moment he walked out with both knee braces, I said he's ready to have a match. He was secure.
Right, exactly. All right, let's try and wrap this up.
I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts? Anything else? Kind of like overall, when you think about the show,
I think overall this was a good night one. Like, it truly was. Like I said at the beginning, like it really felt like we were back to WrestleMania. I really liked it. I thought this was great. I think like the show overall was very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that it made me excited about what's to come.
Like, yeah,
I'm really thrilled and excited about the Cody stuff going forward. Bianca's going to have some interesting stuff. I wonder how soon she'll go into feud with Bayley, or go back into feud with Bayley, I should say, because I'm really hoping that's going to happen like within the next few days even. So let's see how that goes. And then, you know, we just kind of had this Stone Cold Kevin Owens thing, and maybe, I don't know, look, if Stone Cold wants to come back, if he feels like he can do it, let's do this. Let's see him in there. But I'm glad that we didn't get like more matches on night one. This was kind of a lot.
We were saying night one had most of the matches. It was really intense.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yes. So overall, what would you grade night one?
Oh man. I would give it, you know what, I want to give it an A. I'm going to give it an A.
Nice.
And be especially like positive about it, because at the end of the day, there were some pieces that didn't work as well. The Ronda Charlotte match wasn't necessarily for me as much. The first couple of matches on the main card weren't for me as much. I really liked Logan Paul Miz match more than I expected. And, you know, everything else was pretty solid up and down the card, and so I have to give it that A. I think they did a really good job, and let's hope that that tomorrow also delivers. What do you give, Mari?
I completely agree. I'm gonna give it an A minus, because I think I think I agree with everything you said. I thought it was really good. It makes me leaving hopeful for what's to come and excited for tomorrow, and right. even more excited for Raw and SmackDown. So mm-hmm. I'll give it that. Yeah. So it's so great talking with you, Matt. We'll be right back at it tomorrow. I'm really hoping it won't last as long. Maybe they thought, it's Saturday, longer. We can go long. I hope not. Oh, geez. But it was great. And this podcast will be in our podcast feed. So if you're not familiar, I am Mari Forrest. That is Matt Scott. We are part of the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. You can find us on robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. You can go there to subscribe to our wrestling podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Matt, where can the people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Matt Scott GW. That's G like Mari's a G, and W like winner, winner, chicken dinner. So that's Matt Scott GW. And you can find me on the Wrestling Rehab Up each week with Mari, of course. And we have an episode coming up tomorrow. Our night two reactions will be here probably around the same time. And then, of course, we have another episode coming up that's kind of recapping everything, kind of the week in wrestling next week. So check us out before we go on a mini April break, our spring break, if you will.
If you will. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining. We will see you guys tomorrow night for our WrestleMania 38 Night 2 reactions. Bye.
Night 2.